Welcome back to Bitcoin Builders. This week, we are doing a Bitcoin Builders special focused on three companies from the first cohort of Wolf's Accelerator. In Wolf's Clothing is, of course, the exclusive sponsor of Bitcoin Builders, and they are the first accelerator dedicated to Bitcoin and Lightning. They recently finished their first cohort of companies, and I think that seeing the breadth and variety of what those companies are building is a great way to get a sense of the industry as a whole. Today, we're talking with Neil Woodfine from Dustup. As you'll hear, Neil has a long set of experiences in the Bitcoin space that he's now applying to a new gaming startup. It's Tuesday, June 27th. This is Bitcoin Builders. Let's go. All right, Neil, welcome to Bitcoin Builders. How are you doing?
Not doing bad, thanks. Good to be on your show.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited. You know, I've actually followed some of the things that you've done in and around the Bitcoin space for a while and excited to talk about this new startup. But for those of you who aren't familiar with you, give us a little bit of background on yourself.
So I've been around the Bitcoin industry for quite a while now. In 2014, I joined OKCoin, which was the biggest exchange in the world at the time. I was actually working with CZ, who was in charge of the international department and also CTO. After OKCoin, I co-founded a company called Remitzy, which was doing cross-border remittance using Bitcoin as a rails, helping people make payments into China. I co-founded that with Richard, who was one of my colleagues at OKCoin. Eventually, we sold that to Wire, who are just a faster growing competitor in 2017. And then we worked there for a while. After that, I joined Blockstream, worked at Blockstream for a couple of years, leading the marketing team there. And then later joined Unchained Capital, which is now known as Unchained. So I worked at Unchained for another couple of years, leading marketing. And then just recently left Unchained and embarked on this new Dustup project.
Amazing. So we're going to talk a bunch about Dustup and what it is. I'm fascinated to sort of understand or see how you went from these sort of heavy tech, often heavy compliance type of industries, you know, dealing with remittances and things like that, to the sort of this gaming aligned space. But you know, as you were, you know, what I guess, you know, as you've been through now years of building in and around Bitcoin, you know, were there common threads in that, you know, things that you had learned during those experiences that you knew you wanted to bring into whatever you were doing next? Or was it more, you know, just sort of seeing where your nose led you in terms of what you wanted to go out and build?
Yeah, I mean, learned a lot of things from the various different startups that I worked at. I'll try and like list a few of those. I think having worked in exchange and then in particular cross-border remittance, like at Remitzy, we started a regulated company. We went and got all of our licenses. And I saw how damaging that was to a business in terms of it creates incredible amounts of friction in all dimensions, whether it's building the software, doing sales, whatever, like compliance just kind of rears its ugly head and gets in the way. And it doesn't, it's not particularly effective at doing what it purports to do. Increasingly, I came to the conclusion that I wanted to avoid working in regulated businesses. And so, for example, joining Blockstream. Blockstream are a software provider. They're not a financial services provider. They're not taking custody of anybody's funds. And that was a large motivation to going to work at Blockstream. And similarly with Unchained, I mean, they do offer a variety of regulated services, but their core service, the collaborative custody, technically is not a regulated service. So it allows you as a startup to build much faster, to iterate, to try new things. Whereas when you're one of these regulated businesses, you become very, very kind of, there's a lot of inertia. It's very hard to stay nimble. That's kind of a key thing that, like, I decided. And then another thing I think is a lot of businesses have tried to use Bitcoin as a payments vehicle and done very poorly at that. I think when we started Remitzy in 2015, there was a big cohort of remittance startups, as they called them back then, There was like Rebid, Wire as well, BitPacer, and everybody was trying to use Bitcoin as this remittance rails, but didn't particularly succeed. I could go into details on that. But one thing that's been consistent over the years is just anybody that's built either an exchange for speculation or custody services like Unchained Capital, they're the things that succeed because people just use Bitcoin either as a speculative vehicle or as a store of value. But what I think is very interesting is actually getting people to start spending Bitcoin and using it for transactions. And the only places where that has really succeeded, I think, is in very niche kind of like beachhead industries. And some of them fairly unsavory. I mean, like you've got things like drugs and porn, of course, but then there's also the gambling industry, which has not been very well served by the traditional financial sector. So I think like I was really keen to work out like what other niche industries that are underserved by the traditional finance, like what are they? And when we were working at Remitsy, we got approached by a number of esports companies that were having trouble. And that's where the inception of this idea came from for Dustup. It's like, okay, esports, it's this fast growing industry. They're having a hard time with traditional finance. It's generally an international phenomenon of international activity, which is not great for like payment systems. And like Bitcoin is this great fit for that. And then also you need to work in industries where they're not margin sensitive. So if you're like selling, I don't know, like machinery or something, you're working with very like thin margins. So the Bitcoin volatility is a really big problem. But something like esports, it's kind of like I put one in and I get three out or something like that. Like it's a lot less margin sensitive. It's not a big deal if the Bitcoin price is changing like day to day, week to week. So that was another kind of factor in kind of getting started with this project.
Amazing. It's one of the things that I think is really interesting is, you know, living inside the Bitcoin ecosystem, it's very easy to feel sometimes like things aren't moving fast enough or, you know, there's wheel spinning. But if you take a step back, there's this very natural progression that you kind of just outlined where people are, you know, people very quickly found their way to a couple of core use cases that turns out to sustain a huge amount of activity, speculating and holding, you know, as a store of value. And then we've slowly been working our way through lots of other potential use cases and figuring out where there's real alignment between the properties of this very new type of thing in terms of what Bitcoin represents and what people actually need. And I think it's interesting just to sort of, you know, you kind of embody this set of experiments in some ways. So, you know, let's talk about Dustup, where, you know, it sounds like you gave a kind of part of the idea, but, you know, what is it? And you know, when did you kind of latch onto this as the thing that you wanted to go build?
Cool. I think that the first kind of motivation was when we were Remitsy, we were approached by a guy that was running a League of Legends data site, and he wanted to convert it into a tournament site, a paid tournament site, and he wanted to use us for renminbi pay-ins and pay-outs. And we tried to explore like a number of ways to work with him, but ultimately we just couldn't. Like, we're a regulated company, it just wasn't going to work out. We also didn't do renminbi pay-ins, so like we could never take care of that. And then as I got to understand his business a bit more, I realized like he was trying to cover all of Asia and maybe like the whole world. And for each individual country, he was going to need a partnership with a payment processor, and sometimes two payment processors, one for pay-ins, one for payouts. And I was just explaining, like, there's like, as a small startup, there's absolutely no way you could maintain that many relationships with their payment processors. It's just not doable. And I suggested, I was like, you're looking at a Bitcoin problem. He didn't take me up on that. And like, looking back, 2016, there was no Lightning Network. It was probably a little bit early, and his business would have like had problems when there was congestion on the chain. But since then, I was just like, wow, like, that's a really cool like industry that could really benefit from Bitcoin. And then later, I mean, I was living in Asia, picked up a bad habit of mobile gaming. So I play PUBG Mobile. I got quite good. And I was looking around for more competitions and just really hard to find first. And then the ones that I could find were just very badly managed. They were like, some of them were scrappily building their own websites. Some of them were just handling everything manual through chat apps. And then I was based in Thailand at the time. The only tournaments I could find were in Indonesia and in India. And so I could only participate in the free tournaments, and their prize payouts were made through their local mobile payment networks. So even if I won the competitions, I wasn't that good. But even if I did, I wouldn't have been able to receive the payouts. And so that was another kind of like, aha, like this is another area. This is definitely an area where Bitcoin can help. So those two things kind of combined together, and it's kind of been an idea that's been buzzing around my head for a long time. And then Wolf announced their accelerator, and I was like, wow, like this sounds like a great opportunity to finally get it going. So I put in an application, and now we've got started.
Amazing. Okay, good. Super helpful context. So let's talk about what Dustup does for, you know, if you're a game tournament organizer, you know, what is sort of a part of the Dustup platform, and where Bitcoin plugs into it?
Yeah, so like if you imagine the traditional sports, you've got the professional leagues. They get all the they get a lot of attention, but at the same time, you have this very robust, well-developed amateur scene. In the UK for football, we have something called the Sunday Leagues, and you have all of the university leagues and the school leagues. It's just like the people that don't expect to ever be like best in the world still get an opportunity to compete. But then with esports, that really hasn't developed yet. So you have the professional leagues, of course, and they're getting all of the audiences, all the competitions, the prize monies, the sponsorships. But the amateurs, there's not really much there for them to compete. And instead, they're just going on their online matchmaking, playing games against random people with no kind of like story being created from beginning to end. So, and as well, like, I mean, like, myself as a gamer, when you play in these online matchmaking games, like you get killed, you're not bothered, you just load another game a couple of minutes later. So like you're generally like dropping into the most dangerous places and just kind of playing a bit reckless. But when you play in these formal competitions, you've got like teammates that you know, and you all like cooperate better together. You take it seriously, you play safe. Just it's a totally different vibe. I think there's more people like myself that would like to participate in those kind of tournaments, and it's just the infrastructure is not really there. So there's a few kind of hobbyist, passionate organizers out there, people that just love the game, and they're organizing their own kind of scrappy tournaments. They spread across a number of different platforms that help with tournament organization, but don't really do the full process, and do it quite badly. And then also for the payments, they're generally using, if they're based in the West, they're probably using PayPal, but they're doing all that manually through personal accounts. If they're outside of the West, they're going to be using like mobile payment networks in their own country. Sometimes they're using Cash App and stuff like that, but it's very kind of like low key and ad hoc. So the two places that we're adding value with Dustup is one in that organization side. And that's like really the centerpiece, the core kind of like value proposition, is automating that tournament organization process from registrations to check-ins all the way to calculating the results and the scores and delivering the prizes. And then the payment side, we're helping people make payments to participate in tournaments, although that doesn't happen that often. Usually the tournaments are free. At the end of the game, just hitting a button, and then all the prizes get paid out in sats to the players. So we're not a pure Bitcoin company. We're not like building like fancy Bitcoin tech like Blockstream. But at the same time, I think that's another one of you were talking about learnings from working in the industry for a long time. I think a lot of Bitcoin companies are trying to leapfrog to the platform side. They're trying to like immediately become like the API or the kind of like the infrastructure that backs all of these financial companies. But I'm not sure if that demand is there yet, from my experience. And like you think of the early days of the internet, the big platforms that we know today, things like Amazon, they didn't start as a platform. They started as a bookstore. And like, I think for us, like one of our strategies is like, okay, we want to become the home of esports tournaments. And that's how we kind of like bootstrap and drive the adoption of the Bitcoin payment side.
Is how game specific versus game agnostic is the platform, either so, now or how it's imagined for the future?
Right now, it's not. We're specifically designed for Apex Legends. So, like if you're playing any other game, it won't work. But very soon, it will be. It will cover all battle royales. So whether you're playing PUBG or Fortnite, Warzone, it will support those. And then long term, it will just be purely game agnostic. But we want to make sure that we're not spreading ourselves too thin. And a lot of the tournament platforms today are purely game agnostic, and they'll support anything. But that means they don't support anything particularly well. I think there's one good example is Start.gg, which does fighting games, but specifically Smash Brothers. And it's like hyper optimized for that that community. And it's done quite well. It got acquired by Microsoft, unfortunately. Microsoft is where startups go to die. So not much has happened since then. But our focus is on Battle Royales to begin with. And then later we'll branch out to other things.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that, you know, one of the things that is really, so there's a thesis kind of underlying the project, it sounds like, that's outside of Bitcoin that has to do with gaming behavior, which is probably that, one, there's already demand for amateur-level tournaments that exist between I'm purely playing for fun and I'm going trying to be an esports competitor or something like that. That if there were more of that, if it was easier to organize, there would probably be more of that activity happening. And, you know, my regular listeners will know, my one gaming context is Magic the Gathering. It's the only game I've ever really gotten all the way into. And that the way that has evolved, now it's a little bit unique because there basically aren't other games that have a 30-year history at this point, but there are now some games that have been institutions for a decade, 15 years, whatever, right? There is certainly the evidence there suggests that there is this massive, huge space between, you know, people who formerly wanted to be, you know, on the pro tour or whatever, pro players, and people who are purely casual. And as they have found more ways to offer, you know, competitive environments for that audience, you know, they do it specifically through the platform they own, Arena. It's massively popular because people just love, you know, like they don't have to be a competitive all the time to, you know, to use the analogy that you use for soccer leagues, to on Saturday morning want to show up and be competitive for a couple hours, right? So I think that's super interesting. Just, you know, it would not surprise me at all if the availability, you know, that one, there is already demand, but that the availability of infrastructure also creates, you know, its own demand because it's just something that's too much of a burden to do now. When it comes to Bitcoin and how it inserts, you kind of started to give a little bit of this context just in as you were kind of leading the setup. You know, you couldn't get paid out in the local currency when you were performing in India. You know, what are the properties of Bitcoin that make it well suited to this? You know, it sounds like the non-geographic nature of it, you know, these tournaments being sort of, you know, not tied to one specific region. You know, what else about Bitcoin makes it a desirable or a good fit for this particular use?
I mean, it's just better. I think, for instance, the instant payouts is something that is just like not possible with PayPal and the other solutions. So, for instance, with our platform, you can upload a screenshot of your results. Our system will automatically calculate the scores, spit out a kind of prize table. The organizer can check that and just hit one button, and immediately from their Lightning node, the players get paid out. Now, like, contrast that with the system today, they like get the results. It maybe takes them like an hour to calculate the scores because they're doing it with like Google Sheets and stuff. And then once they've done that, they send out the results to the players, but they're like, we'll pay you out within 24 hours. And so like the next day they'll like get around to it and they're manually like through PayPal, like clicking through, entering email addresses. And like the process is fairly similar with, when using the mobile payment networks. So yeah, that's like an example. The book, I mean, we've mentioned the borderless nature of it. It's on 24/7 as well. Like, I mean, I mentioned this earlier, like esports, unfortunately, is, and I think incorrectly, considered a high risk activity by a lot of payment processors and banks. So it's very hard for these organizations to maintain banking relationships. They're making payments and sometimes seeing them frozen, whether the account's getting frozen or the payment's getting blocked. And obviously with Bitcoin, especially, we make sure that the organizers retain custody of their funds, like they're purely in the driving seat of these payments. So that's like another big advantage of that. Like, I mean, the way I describe it to people is like esports is this like online digital borderless sport, and like Bitcoin is online digital borderless money, and it's just this like match made in heaven. So yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. I one of the questions that I have written down is, you know, is this an example of Bitcoin being the internet native, you know, basically the non-geographic currency of the internet? It seems like, you know, even just in answering that question, it's almost so obvious, because the way, there's sort of nothing necessarily or inherently geographic about this. In fact, it's the exact opposite. This is a type of activity that exists entirely online, you know, that has no constraint really necessary from national borders. It makes sense that it's going to be more fluent for the sort of currency that flows through it to be something that has similar properties.
Yeah. And as well, like, I think, I mean, I believe quite strongly that hyper-Bitcoinization is highly likely. And so we can assume that any monetary transactions will eventually convert to Bitcoin. So esports is just inevitably going to come across at some point. But my theory is that esports is actually a really good beachhead, a really good place for early Bitcoin adoption because of the nature of the industry. So yeah, like the question is, can we make it happen now rather than later?
What is the actual sort of Bitcoin or Lightning infrastructure required to make the system work?
So we're not pretty heavy. We're not very heavy on Bitcoin tech. We're not trying to pioneer any kind of new systems. So we're just using existing Bitcoin service providers. For example, Voltage is a key part of our infrastructure. Prior to that, we were using BTC Pay. But yeah, we're just using open source and some proprietary platforms as our backend, and kind of bolting it all together to deliver this experience.
And for users, all they need is a Bitcoin wallet to engage.
Yeah. So the players, if there's an entrance fee, they're going to need to have some Bitcoin to pay the entrance fee and a Bitcoin wallet. Or if there's no entrance fees and they're just receiving prizes, then once they've won, they're going to need to download a Bitcoin wallet and receive the prizes. We're purely Lightning at the moment. We don't think there's much, like, it doesn't make sense to go on-chain with the way fees are going there. But maybe we'll reconsider that later. Purely Lightning right now. And then for the organizers, they need to maintain their own seed phrase. So there is a bit of education kind of support that's required there, but we try to automate as much as possible for that operation of the Lightning node.
So on May 23rd, I saw you had tweeted, made our first sale today, 7 weeks from idea to first customer. So, you know, I guess where are you guys now? What was sort of first that you needed to build? And what has the reception been among either existing tournament organizers, potential tournament organizers? You know, has anything substantively changed, or has it more been sort of confirmation and keep building?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's like testament to Wolf. I think the program is excellent and recommend to all your listeners to consider it if they've got some cool startup ideas. And they really put pressure on us to move fast. And like, I mean, we knew that everybody knows you've got to move fast as a startup, but I think the environment that they create at Wolf is just really good for getting things done quickly. I think one example is originally we planned to launch our own tournament first by week seven. So we were going to organize a tournament for the Bitcoin community. But after the pressure from Wolf, we're like, okay, let's do it in the second week. Let's just pull things together and make it happen. And it was actually a complete disaster. Really hard to like build up the community and get people to register. And we end up actually having to cancel it. But I was really pleased that we did that in the second week rather than the seventh week. And we're totally. Like, okay, right, like newfound respect for the work that organizers do. Like, this is not easy. We're just going to focus purely on supporting them with our software. And so we like kind of pivoted, I guess. And just, our intention was always to provide to the organizers, but we just accelerated that process. So third week, it was just like heads down. Let's like make a demo and start reaching out to organizers, getting them to review the demo. And we found that like this community of organizers just super receptive. Now, I've done a lot of cold sales in the past, in previous jobs. Generally, everybody knows cold sales, you get very low response rates. It's just like, I mean, it works, but like you're getting less than 5% of the people actually responding to you. But with these organizers, it was like easily over 50%. Like everybody wanted to speak to us. And I think they're generally very disappointed and don't feel like the existing platforms, the traditional platforms, are really satisfying their needs, whether that's like autonomous organization or being charged too much or having problems with price payouts and things like that. It was really easy to like kind of like work out where the biggest pain points were because they were speaking to us, and then start iterating the product and building something that people wanted. So we've got a number of ongoing conversations. We do admittedly still only have that one client, but they're using us regularly, and hopefully have a few more coming online soon.
Yeah, I would still be pretty enthusiastic about that speed to a first customer, first user. Do you think that we're likely to start seeing more companies in this milieu of they're solving a problem and Bitcoin happens to solve problems within the solving of that problem versus, you know, sort of these pure play Bitcoin startups that are trying to, as you put it, you know, build new infrastructure or leapfrog? Like, are we going to see more, you know, dust up style things where Bitcoin actually just answers a problem that a particular industry or segment has?
Yeah. I think there's one that I just saw recently. Is it called Vita? I can't remember the Lyle. I can't remember his surname. just started a streaming startup, and they're using Bitcoin for the payments, but it is kind of more like a video streaming service than anything else. And like to some extent, I think one of the like most successful or sustainable businesses out there is BitRefill, and they're just an excellent voucher site that happens to take crypto Bitcoin as payments. So I think that there's a good chance of that. I think a lot of companies that have like tried to become big infrastructure players have like raised a lot of funding, had a lot of pressure, and just that demand is not quite there yet. I think an example of like what might happen there is Lightspark. Like they've got some pretty crazy fees on there and they've raised a lot of money, but like, is that demand for Lightning infrastructure there? And is it going to be there for the next 5 years? Like, I'm just a little bit skeptical about that. So I think like focusing on niche use cases is, I mean, obviously I think that because I've started a company that's doing it, but I think that's a kind of maybe a more prudent kind of approach and a bit more humble, right? Stay humble and stack sats.
I think when it comes to startups, so much is dictated by one, what people see as examples around them, and two, availability of capital. And so I think quite naturally, if you start to see more people who are doing companies like this, it's like, oh, I could be a Bitcoin company without, you know, being a Lightning infrastructure company or something like that. That's sort of naturally going to get people's sparks whirling in different ways. And then two, if there's aligned capital, whether it's, you know, an accelerator like Wolf or something else, that obviously creates more of that viability, you know? So I think that's a really positive trend, just because, you know, there's so many Bitcoiners now, entrepreneurial Bitcoiners, who have gone through one or two companies and, you know, are looking for the next thing that they're going to build. And I think having more rather than less options is probably likely to create something
and
good.
Like, just to be clear, maybe I've been a little bit too disparaging of infrastructure companies. Like, I do think there's a place for them. So, for example, we're using Voltage. They're doing like excellent work, and like make our lives a lot easier. So I'm not certain about any of these things. It's just I would prefer to focus on a niche industry to begin with.
Yeah, I think it's more just that there's a broader opportunity set of what it means to go create a Bitcoin or a Bitcoin-aligned startup. And I think naturally that's going to be a good thing. Well, yeah. Neil, I'm super excited about what you're building. I think there's going to be a lot of interest out there. I think it's sort of, it's the type of thing it's on trend, but not because it's trendy. It's just because people like playing games and they're going to want to keep doing this. And so I'm really excited to see how it evolves and glad you guys are out there doing it.
Brilliant. It's been a pleasure chatting.
All right, guys, back to NLW for just a quick wrap up. If you listen to my interview with Des Dickerson a month or so ago, you'll have already heard that I think that this type of company in which Bitcoin is just solving a problem that exists for the company, rather than Bitcoin being at the center of everything, is a hugely important part of this ecosystem of new Bitcoin builders. It's totally natural, but Bitcoin builders have spent a lot of time creating solutions that are in searches of problems. That's a natural part of any startup ecosystem evolving. But the fact that this esports case seems to have such a clear need for a inherently international digital native money like Bitcoin provides is really fascinating to see. I'm excited to see what Dustup do in this space and how it might expose new people to Bitcoin. Thanks again to Neil for coming on the show. Thanks to In Wolf's Clothing, Wolf, for sponsoring the show. And thanks to you guys for listening. Until next time, let's build.